When things are going good in someone's life, it may be easy to forget about things or about how these things got good in the first place, and the attitude of not needing God may become more prevalent. Life is good, I don't need any help, is what some may think. You know, one may become neglectful in prayer, for example. After all, what do we need to pray about when everything is going good, right? I doubt that many of us would fall into that category of being well off, let's say many of us in the church that is, of being well off, but we do have what we need, right? And sometimes we may want a little bit more. But have we taken the things that God has given us for granted? Have we thought twice about what we do have by taking for granted the simple things that we have, like food, water, shelter, clothes, things that are of necessity? We do all need these things to survive. And God will provide that to us, and sometimes we may go through the struggles when it comes to spending, and sacrifices would have to be made. It happens, and that is why preparation for those times is important. Preparation at any time is important, and the Bible provides numerous scriptures on that topic. And we also know that times are going to get even more difficult, and the world will be affected, and if we are not prepared and aware of what is happening, then we could be caught up in the confusion and the lack of preparation. Knowledge and obedience is key. Have we taken God's gift for granted? The Sabbath day, the holy day, is the day that we are keeping today. Do we take his blessings for granted, or are we thankful? Are we thankful that we have a job and are being blessed during these times? For those of us in need of a job, do we have enough faith that God will provide? Or do we become too discouraged to rely on God? Yes, it is frustrating, but we will get through this as God promises in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. This is a scripture that can be read over and over and over again every day if you want to, because it is something that we go through on a continuous basis, especially right now at this moment, for those of you who can't see me. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You know, right now, we need to just get up and rejoice for this trial that we are going through, for those of you who can't see me. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But, verse 6, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. We must also be smart in our decisions that we make, because we don't want to test God either. Don't think that we could just sit back and do nothing, thinking that God will take care of us. We all have a part to do as well. That is all part of our learning process, having a closer relationship with God. Now, when we do receive blessings from God, we have to remember to be thankful. Sometimes we tend to dwell on the things that are troublesome to us, the things that we most likely try to put into our own hands to try to figure out, forgetting to go to God and asking for help. No, I don't think we do that intentionally. It's just human nature to try to do it our own way. Or we're sometimes too embarrassed to ask God for help, especially when we know we did something wrong. And then we go and ask God to bless us. even when we may think that we don't deserve it. It sometimes feels that way, but I also know how merciful God is, and I know better, and yet I ask for forgiveness many times. When we are sick, and when we ask for God's healing, and then once we are healed, do we forget to thank him? Notice Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 15 through 19. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he, Christ, said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. See how faith makes you well. So when should we give God thanks? And what should we thank him about? Notice Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For everything we give thanks, good and bad, even bad. Because there's always a reason for it. Like right now, let's give thanks for the internet problems we may be having. Yeah. Well, we can laugh about it, right? In all things, we should continue to be thankful, and especially during these hard times. We should not take what has been given to us for granted. God has most certainly given us a gift. He has given us a gift of knowledge and love, his way of life, and the meaning of the Sabbath and the holy days. And by living this way of life, we are to be great examples to the rest of the world, as it says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. We are to be shining lights to this world, even if the world will hate us for it. And yes, if they haven't already, they will hate us for it. But we are not here to please the world, but to please God, and we will be blessed for that. Luke chapter 8 and verse 4 through 15 talks about the parable of the sower, who went out to sow his seed, and how some seed had fell by the wayside on rock among thorns and of good ground. And actually, I will read that in Luke chapter 8 and in verse 11. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Continue on by reading the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, in a time of temptation, though, will fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Verse 15, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And hopefully that is you and me when it talks about verse 15. Notice how we must have patience, just as God has patience with us. We must endure hardship and suffering if we want to live God's way of life, to then ultimately be like God. Isn't that our ultimate goal? Do we sometimes take what we know for granted? Do we also remain faithful in Christ, and are we strong enough to keep going? And do we possess that patience until the end? Notice Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Pretty much anything. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, anything. There shouldn't be anything out there that should separate us from the love of the God, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Today we are celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. It's a holy day that God has commanded us to keep, while the great majority of the world has no idea what this day is about, nor do they care. Even if you were to ask somebody about this day, they would either tell you one of four options: that they'd never heard about it, that they would either tell you, or I'm sorry, that they have heard about it, but they have no idea what it's about, or they know about it, but think that we don't need to keep it, or they think they are keeping it, but on a wrong day. And what we understand is vital because this day symbolizes the soon coming return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And if we are worthy enough to God's calling, then we could be a part of that first resurrection or a change to immortality for those of us who are still alive at his return, to be born again into his family, his kingdom of God. For that, we should be truly thankful.